Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something pretty complex, how to schedule research and development in semiconductor facilities.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. You've got these tiny production runs with tons of variety and new experiments popping up all the time.
Right. We're diving into some research from Borodin, Fisher, Rousey, and Yugma.
A mix of academics and folks from CEA Leti. That's one of Europe's top semiconductor research organizations.
So our mission is to get a handle on the scheduling challenges in this cutting-edge field and the strategies being developed to make it all work.
Yeah, it's about making sense of the chaos.
So let's jump in. What makes R&D fabs so different from typical production lines?
Well, in a traditional fab, the focus is on high-volume production. You know, churning out millions of identical chips for phones or laptops.
Right. Everything's standardized and optimized for predictable output.
Exactly. But R&D is all about pushing the boundaries, exploring the unknown.
So it's less about mass production and more about experimentation.
Right. It's about small-scale production of a wide variety of products.
I see. And that's where these campaigns come in. The sources mention that term.
Yeah, instead of endless runs of the same product, they launch focused bursts of activity. It could be around a specific experiment or a new chip design.
So they're like mini production sprints focused on a specific goal.
Exactly. And here's the real kicker. The processes and recipes in R&D are often decided on the fly.
By the engineers as they're working.
Yep. They're constantly gathering data, refining experiments, tweaking things as they go.
So you can't just pre-program a schedule and call it a day.
Nope. It's way too unpredictable. How do you plan when you don't even know how long a process will take?
That's what I'm wondering. And the sources dive right into this problem of inaccurate processing times.
They actually analyzed empirical data and found something interesting.
What's that?
Long tail distributions. Most processes wrap up within a certain time frame,
okay. But
a significant chunk take way longer than expected. Those outliers can really throw a wrench in the works.
So how do they account for that in their scheduling?
Well, they propose a quantile-based approach.
Quantiles.
It's about looking at different points in the distribution of processing times, instead of relying on averages, which can be skewed by those long outliers.
So instead of assuming every process will take the average time.
You acknowledge that some will inevitably take longer.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And does it actually improve their predictions?
It does. The research shows this approach can boost the accuracy of release date predictions quite a bit. That leads to more effective capacity planning and smoother operations.
Okay, so we've established that R&D SABs are incredibly dynamic. But how do they make scheduling decisions in this constant state of flux? The sources mentioned these dispatching rules. What are those all about?
Dispatching rules are essentially predefined guidelines for prioritizing and sequencing jobs. It helps navigate the complexity.
So instead of reinventing the wheel every time a new job comes in.
They have these rules to guide their decisions. Think of it like a flowchart to streamline the process.
I'm starting to get the picture. But how do these rules actually work in practice?
There are two main phases.
Yeah.
First, you assign operations to resource bins.
Resource bins?
Yeah, it's a fancy way of saying groups of resources, like specific machines or equipment.
Organized by their capabilities and priority.
Right. You might have a bin for high priority rapid prototyping jobs and another for lower priority standard processes.
So it's all about organizing resources strategically. What happens next?
Then comes the sequencing phase. Within each bin, jobs are sorted based on things like adjusted speed remaining operations and slack time.
Slack time?
It's the difference between the time available and the time needed to complete a job.
Got it. So it's about figuring out how much wiggle room they have for each job.
Exactly. The goal is to sequence jobs in a way that maximizes on-time delivery.
Which makes sense in R&DTs. Deadlines are often tied to research milestones or funding cycles.
Absolutely. But these dispatching rules have limitations. The researchers point this out in their paper.
They seem pretty useful. What are the downsides?
Well, for one, they can become outdated. The R&D environment is constantly evolving.
So what worked yesterday might not be the best approach today.
Right. And the rules rely on those processing time estimates, which we know can be inaccurate. Those pesky long tails can really throw things off.
But the rules are only as good as the data they're based on.
Exactly. And there's another issue. The rules can sometimes prioritize long jobs with more operations.
Even if they have more slack time.
Yeah. So a long job might jump ahead of a shorter one that's almost finished.
Even if it's not as urgent.
Exactly. And that can create bottlenecks and ultimately hurt throughput.
It sounds like a constant balancing act, managing priorities, resources, and the ever-present element of surprise.
That's R&D in a nutshell. A fascinating challenge for sure.
Definitely. So what strategies are being explored to improve those scheduling decisions? That's what I'm really curious about.
Well, one focus is improving those processing time estimations, using techniques like those quantile-based summaries we talked about.
To account for those long tails and make more accurate predictions.
Right. They're also looking at ways to refine the sequencing process. One idea is to factor in the capabilities of individual machines when assigning jobs.
So instead of treating all machines of a certain type as equals,
you consider the nuances of each one's performance, tailoring the schedule to each machine's strengths and weaknesses.
That seems incredibly complex, but also offers a lot of potential for optimization.
It does, and they're even questioning the relevance of traditional key performance indicators, or KPIs, in R&D.
KPIs like cycle time, throughput, on-time delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Why would those be a problem?
Those metrics work well in a production environment where the focus is on maximizing efficiency and predictability.
Right. Get things done as quickly and consistently as possible.
But R&D is different. It's about pushing boundaries, exploring new ideas, embracing failure as part of the learning process.
So what we consider efficient in R&D might look very different.
Exactly. This shift in perspective could lead to new and innovative approaches to scheduling.
I see a theme emerging here: challenging assumptions and adapting to the specific demands of R&D.
That's the key. And part of that adaptation involves embracing new tools like simulation and optimization techniques.
To help manage the complexity.
Precisely. Using computer models to test out different scheduling scenarios and see what works best.
I'm starting to see how deep this rabbit hole goes. It's not just about plugging numbers into a spreadsheet.
Not at all. There's a lot of careful analysis and creative problem solving involved.
Well, we've just scratched the surface of this topic. I'm really interested to see what other insights we uncover.
Me too. There's a lot more to explore in the world of R&D scheduling. You know, it's impressive how much emphasis they put on data analysis in this research. They're really using data to understand the quirks of R&D fabs and tailor their scheduling strategies.
It makes sense. You can't just rely on gut feeling when you're dealing with so many variables.
Yeah.
Do they have any specific examples of this data-driven approach in action?
They did. They analyzed a real-life case using their scheduling system. The data set included over 950 jobs, a mix of engineering and standard jobs, with routes ranging from a few operations to over 200.
That's a pretty substantial data set. What insights did they glean from all that data?
One key finding was the importance of monitoring work in progress, or WIP for short. Yeah, basically, it's about keeping track of how many jobs are in the system at any given time. Too much WIP can lead to bottlenecks and slowdowns.
It's like a traffic jam inside the facility.
Exactly. So they developed a detailed dashboard to track WIP over time and identify potential bottlenecks before they become major issues.
That sounds like a valuable tool for proactive management. What else did they learn from the data?
They also highlighted the need to monitor processing times carefully. As we discussed earlier, those long-tail distributions can really mess with your predictions.
Right. Those outliers can skew the data and lead to inaccurate release dates and cycle time estimates.
Exactly. So they experimented with different ways to approximate those processing times more effectively. One approach that showed promise was using quantile-based summaries. Instead of focusing on the average, they looked at specific points in the distribution.
So they're acknowledging that some processes will inevitably take longer than others. Did this approach lead to any significant improvements?
It did. They were able to improve the accuracy of release date predictions by 22% and cycle time predictions by an impressive 30%.
Wow, those are substantial gains. Accurate processing time estimates are crucial for effective scheduling. What else did they do to optimize their scheduling decisions?
They really emphasized the importance of continuously evaluating and updating the dispatching rules themselves.
Because those rules can become obsolete as the R&D environment changes.
Exactly. By regularly reassessing the hyperparameters of the rules, the settings that control how the rules work, they were able to significantly improve the quality of the job sequences.
So they're not just setting it and forgetting it. They're constantly refining the rules to keep them relevant.
Precisely. And they also stress the importance of sequence analysis, examining the order in which jobs are processed to identify potential bottlenecks or inefficiencies.
So they're acting like detectives, searching for clues to improve the scheduling process. What kind of patterns did they find?
They noticed that sometimes the dispatching rules would prioritize long jobs over shorter jobs that were nearing completion.
Even if the shorter jobs were more urgent. That seems counterintuitive.
It can be, and it can lead to bottlenecks and reduced throughput. By analyzing the sequences, they were able to identify these issues and adjust the rules to avoid them.
It's not just about having the right rules. It's about using them intelligently.
It's about continuous improvement. striking that balance between efficiency and flexibility. That's crucial in R&D.
It's amazing how much careful analysis goes into something like scheduling, especially in a dynamic environment like R&D.
It's a critical factor in their ability to innovate, and the insights from this research are applicable to any industry that faces complex scheduling challenges in a constantly changing environment.
The principles of data analysis, continuous improvement, and adaptability are universal.
That's right. It's all about finding the right tools and strategies to manage complexity and optimize performance.
It sounds like they have a solid grasp of the present. Did they offer any glimpses into the future of scheduling in R&D?
They did. They discussed incorporating machine learning and artificial intelligence into the scheduling process.
AI for scheduling, what would that look like?
They envision a system where AI could analyze vast amounts of data, learn from past scheduling decisions, and even predict future demand.
So it's like having a super intelligent scheduling assistant.
In a way, yes. It could revolutionize the way R&D fabs operate, making them even more agile and responsive.
Are there any challenges in implementing AI for scheduling?
Of course, data quality is paramount. The AI system is only as good as the data it's trained on, and there's also the question of human trust. Will people be comfortable ceding control to an AI system?
Those are valid concerns. What's their take on the human element?
They believe that AI should be viewed as a tool to augment human decision-making, not replace it.
So a collaboration between human expertise and AI insight.
Exactly. And as AI technology advances, we can expect even more sophisticated scheduling tools to emerge.
It's fascinating how they're pushing boundaries on multiple fronts, from the chips themselves to the processes used to create them. And scheduling plays such an integral role in this innovation.
Absolutely. And it all ties together. Advancements in one area can lead to breakthroughs in another.
It's a cycle of innovation. And scheduling is right at the heart of it.
Exactly. We've talked a lot about the technical aspects. But there's another important element we need to discuss, KPIs.
Key performance indicators. We touched on them briefly earlier. Why are they such a big deal, especially in this context?
Well, in traditional manufacturing, KPIs like cycle time throughput and on-time delivery are often seen as the gold standard for measuring performance.
Because they emphasize efficiency and predictability, which are paramount in mass production.
Right. But the researchers argue that these conventional KPIs might not be the best fit for R&D environments.
Because in R&D, it's not just about churning out products as quickly as possible.
Exactly. It's about pushing boundaries, experimenting with new ideas, and embracing failure as a learning opportunity.
So a metric like cycle time, which measures how long it takes to complete a job, might not be as relevant in an R&D setting, where speed isn't always the top priority.
That's right. They challenge us to rethink what it means to be efficient in R&D.
So instead of focusing solely on speed, we need to consider factors like the quality of the research, the insights gained, and the potential for breakthroughs.
Exactly. It's about taking a more holistic view of performance and recognizing that different environments require different metrics. You can't measure the success of a research project using the same criteria as a mass production line.
It makes you wonder, what are the right KPIs for R&D?
That's the million-dollar question. It's going to require a lot more research and experimentation to develop metrics that truly capture the essence of R&D success.
It sounds like a complex and evolving challenge.
It is. We can't just blindly apply traditional manufacturing KPIs to R&D and expect them to be meaningful. We need to think outside the box and develop new ways to measure performance in this unique and ever-changing environment.
This brings us to another exciting idea the researchers propose. They suggest using simulation and optimization techniques to manage the complexity of R&D fabs.
That's right. These tools can help R&D teams visualize the impact of their decisions, explore different options, and make more informed choices.
It's like having a virtual laboratory where they can experiment without any real-world consequences.
Exactly. As these simulation and optimization techniques evolve, they could revolutionize how R&D fabs operate.
It's incredible to see how they're pushing boundaries on multiple fronts. And it's clear that scheduling plays a vital role in driving that innovation.
It's a field ripe for exploration.
So as we wrap up our deep dive, what's the one key takeaway you want listeners to remember?
I think the most important message is this. Don't be afraid to challenge assumptions and think outside the box. Traditional approaches might not always be the best fit for the unique demands of R&D.
Embrace data analysis, be adaptable, and never stop learning and evolving.
And remember, even the most complex scheduling puzzles can be solved with the right tools and strategies.
And a healthy dose of curiosity.
Absolutely.
So we've really dug deep into the world of scheduling for semiconductor R&D.
Yeah.
It's a lot more complex than meets the eye.
Yeah, there are so many moving parts. Those unpredictable processing times, the need for constant adaptation, it's a real challenge.
But it's exciting, too. The researchers are really pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Absolutely. And one of the things that really stood out to me is how they're questioning those traditional KPIs, the ones that are so ingrained in manufacturing.
Right, like cycle time and throughput. Those metrics are all about speed and efficiency.
Exactly. In a production environment, those are the holy grails. But in R&D, speed isn't always the top priority.
It's more about exploration, experimentation, pushing the limits of what's known.
And sometimes those breakthroughs come from failures. You know, a fast failure can actually be a good thing in R&D.
It allows researchers to course correct quickly and try new approaches.
Exactly. So if we can't just rely on those traditional metrics, how do we measure success in R&D? What are the right KPIs?
That's the million-dollar question. What insights do the researchers offer?
Well, one suggestion is to focus on characterizing the capabilities of individual machines.
So instead of treating all machines of a certain type as interchangeable.
You look at the nuances of each one's performance. Even seemingly identical machines can have subtle differences that impact their capabilities.
And by understanding those nuances, you can make better scheduling decisions, get the right jobs on the right machines.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that those subtle differences can have a big impact on the overall efficiency and outcomes of the R&D process.
It's like fine-tuning an orchestra. Each instrument has its own unique sound, and you need to arrange them in a way that creates harmony.
I like that analogy. And they also talked about the need to rethink the whole concept of KPIs in the context of R&D.
Because what we consider efficient in manufacturing might not be the best measure of success in a research environment.
Right. We need to develop new metrics that align with the unique goals of R&D metrics that account for the quality of the research, the insights gained, the potential for breakthroughs.
So it's not just about how quickly they can get things done, but the value of what they discover along the way.
Exactly. It's about measuring the impact and the learning, not just the speed of execution.
It's a subtle but important distinction. And it really highlights the need for a more nuanced and holistic approach to measuring success in R&D.
We can't just slap on those old manufacturing KPIs and expect them to tell the whole story.
It's a fascinating challenge, figuring out how to quantify the value of exploration and discovery.
And that's where those simulation and optimization techniques we discussed can really come in handy.
You mean using computer models to experiment with different scheduling scenarios and see what works best?
Exactly. It's like having a virtual laboratory where you can test out different approaches without any real-world consequences.
It allows researchers to explore a wider range of possibilities and make more data-driven decisions.
It's a powerful tool. And as these techniques continue to evolve, they have the potential to revolutionize the way R&D fabs operate.
So much potential for innovation. It's been incredible to delve into this world where cutting-edge technology meets the art of efficient scheduling.
It really highlights how scheduling is at the heart of innovation in the semiconductor industry. It's not just a back-office function. It's a key driver of progress.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with today?
I think the most important message is this. Don't be afraid to challenge assumptions. The traditional ways of doing things might not always be the best fit, especially in a field as dynamic and ever-changing as R&D.
Be open to new ideas, new approaches, new ways of measuring success.
Embrace data analysis, adaptability, continuous learning. Those are the keys to thriving in this complex and exciting world.
It's been a pleasure exploring this topic with you. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
The pleasure is all mine.
And to our listeners out there, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible. Until next time.